Any question on the page 21 about the future forecast of fleet management?
What side again, Ramjan?
That page 21 talking about the vehicles we will need in 28, 29, 30, 450,000 each.
Yeah. One comment I would have would be the snowmobile club ran into the same problem where you all of a sudden get financing or grants or something, you end up with three vehicles all 1 year apart. Well, then it's kind of dawned on us that that's not a good scenario for future going down the roads. I'm just wondering in our planning whether we could try to spread those years out by 2 years even going forward, say like in 2000, the oldest one, look at 2027, and then the 2020, we would maybe 2 years later, 29, and then the 21, look at 31, just to try to start to spread that.
That would be a good idea. I think that it happened the last time you replaced the trucks. It's just those Sterlings, somebody kept them forever, and then they were all replaced at once.
Yeah.
too close together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think it was just the...
But that would be a good idea, because we have a lot of problems, actually, with number 20, and it, and we say that maybe we replace it before we replace 19.
Oh, yeah.
Even though it's newer, it's costing us more in maintenance. It might be one to, if we're going to deal one early, deal it.
I think that's the one that's always on the sheets.
It's always on the sheets.
Why is that? Why is that?
We call it the Friday truck.
700 enough for a grader?
No. Yeah, it depends on what grader you get, but yeah, 770. Okay. But keep in mind the old one's still worth something. So, yeah. And
okay.
Yeah, it's there for discussion, and just so you guys know what's coming in the future.
Yeah.
We were on a program where the grader got replaced every 7 years. Okay. And I see the pictures on the wall over there. But every 7 years we got a new grader. They took a picture of it leaving on the old one leaving on the float, and I think it was a good thing. This one is a really good grader. The guys like it. It's pre-emissions control, just.
Yeah.
So we're scared to change it because there's problems with the new engines.
Yeah. Because of the DPF. Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay.
So hopefully we can make it last forever. Mm-hmm. But we got to keep in the back of our mind they're expensive.
Transfer station. Page 25, 26.
Just for the record, Roshan, I liked these charts that you produced because finally I could see the numbers and how the math worked and this one too.
Okay.
So I appreciate that you did that. So
thank you.
Yeah, I agree. The format was made it very easy to follow through, you know, the entire how everything was set up. So okay. Excellent.
Thank you. So in the transfer station, there are two items. One is lower gate repair for 16,000, and other one is compactor for 15,000.
We have that cleared up yet with the new provider, the parts of compactors? Are they going to rent ours? We don't know that yet.
Well, it's... I think we need to do a little bit more research on it, and I've done a little bit. We're currently putting garbage into our household garbage into two compactors, as you know, and two non-compacted bins.
Right.
All of those bins cost $450 to take them to the landfill site, whether they've got 10 tons in them or 2.5 tons in them.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not economical to be transferring 2.5 tons of garbage at a time. So, and what made me start to think about this is MTERRA will buy our recycling compactors off us, and why would we sell them?
Right.
If we you know, need them, if we don't need them now, we certainly need them in the future because there's more and more garbage there all the time. And so I pulled the file briefly before this meeting, and a compacted bin can have as much as 10.5 tons in it, which makes it about $43 a ton to transfer that bin to McDougall landfill site. And we've got the smaller bins that aren't compacted with as little as 2.5 tons in it, that's $180 a ton to transfer the garbage to McDougall. I would really want to look into it to see if it's worth selling these compactors to Mterra. In the meantime, they will rent them off us during this transition period. So, and we've already made those arrangements. But they are expecting, and we don't have to follow through on, but they're expecting that we may move at least one of them down below for more garbage.
Counselor, if I can, a couple of points. I thought it was stated at one meeting prior to you taking the position that that the anticipated savings that we were going to have with the compactors never came to fruition because the hauler was charging more because of the extra time it took to deal with the compacted bins compared to the non-compacted bins. So it is the $450.
Yeah, it's not. It's not the case now. I looked through the invoices just a couple hours ago, and it doesn't give me bin numbers. But so I compared it to McDougall's invoices to us, and it's $450 for the transfer. They don't differentiate between bins, and and then when I went to McDougall's, there's a cluster from 2.5 to 3.5 tons, and then there's 7 to 10.5 tons. So I would imagine that's compacted versus uncompacted.
And second point, so the configuration of the compactors and compacting bins that are down at the waste disposal section, is it the same configuration of the bins that are up, that are currently being used for recycling?
Well, I think that's what the cost is, and we're not sure the cost that we've put in here. You'd have to put that hopper on top. They're the same bin, they're the same compactor, and the bins are the same, and we own them all. We'd have to move it down below. We'd have to have that hopper put on the top, and we'd have to have electricity ran to it so it ran.
So
there's some cost to doing that.
The bins themselves and the compacting units are the same except for the configuration of the hopper that's on top?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And, I mean, so the bins that we're using for recycling would now be garbage bins because they're ours. We wouldn't be selling them to Mterra. So the compactor that's moving below would be the paper bin sort of thing, and the two bins that are associated with it would now belong to us. Mterra wouldn't be using them. They would supply their own because that's their contract.
Part of that would be the base as well.
I haven't gone down below. It's just I knew that we have to discuss it. It's a major change, and I know you're very familiar with the place and more familiar with how it runs than I am. But it just, on the outside, when he brought up that he'd buy them off him, I think, well, that's kind of silly. Why would we sell them? Because within a few years, we're probably going to be putting another compactor down below.
Yeah. And those ones we have. Recycling, they're in decent shape. But they,
yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I knew there were some problems with them, but nothing.
I had the service guy out last year. He went over everything and gave me some advice. They're working good.
Okay. Councilor Zulai.
And so, Tom, do you know how much the hoppers cost?
Don't. We haven't put any. This just came up within the last couple of weeks, and I haven't had time to talk to Metro Compactor to see if it's even feasible.
Next one is facilities, page 29. And we have a couple of projects under facilities. One of them, first one is council library roof repair. Estimated cost is $50,000.
Is that a recent estimate?
No, that's a previous estimate we received when the company was doing the rest of the roof. We just added a bit of money for cost increases. So we would need to tender this to get an accurate figure.
You do that, or we could have an open air council chamber, cut the roof off.
Careful what you wish for.
And the other project is community center floor. Estimated cost for that project is $46,000.
I noticed the insert there, it looked like a gym floor. Is that what they're, is that just a suggestion?
It's just a suggestion. We do have other contractors coming in. They haven't been able to attend the facility yet, but they were doing measuring and also providing commercial laminate options that wouldn't look like a gymnasium floor. And then they're also trying to find a solution for sports courting tape, just because it's hard with the custodian to clean the floor. So if the look wasn't to be gymnasium, how we could incorporate sports courting lines without it being hard to clean.
Yeah, I thought it'd be good for the pickleballers or want something like that, but anybody having a wedding, I'm not sure if they want it in the gym.
So. Yeah, I thought the same thing.
Next project is 8 long tables for community centers. Cost is $1,000.
What happened to your old ones? Are they still around? Or I know they were in rough shape.
More and more of them are breaking, the wooden ones. And
yeah,
they're very heavy for staff to move around. So yeah, actually Brandy just recently moved one of the old ones over here for staff and took the good one. And this one too. So she's got 2 more there. Just much easier to work with, and they're coming apart. Opening and closing the legs, the screws are coming out now and breaking the bottom of the table. So, time.
Well, I remember the whole progression there. They used to be on sawhorses, I guess. You get screw in, make sure they stay tight. A little dangerous.
Yeah, did you actually price them, or this is just a guesstimate?
Yeah, I looked on like vendors like Canadian Tire and Walmart that sell the plastic tables, and this was approximately the cost.
Okay. Bit over $100 each, kind of thing. Mm-hmm. 120.
Page 31, building studies. The cost is $10,000.
And that was for multiple buildings?
Yeah, multiple buildings.
Okay.
Everything in the township, including the salt dome. And the salt dome, I think, we're required to have it assessed every couple of years.
I don't think that's ever been done, has it? The salt
dome? The roof was replaced, I think, at one point, so somebody must have looked at it. No, I was just interested in that, because this would be fairly general, but would they be making a recommendation for 2 bays, or, I mean, can it be done, sort of thing? Is it feasible in that location? Is this what the study would show?
I think for that building, we would ask them to give us some ideas to reconfigure. If we're not going to move out of that lot, then how do we fit?
Yeah.
You know, and how do we fit 2 more bays?
Yeah.
And, you know, maybe they may have some different ideas than we've got being engineers.
Yeah, we had one person saying 3 bays instead of 2. And we had never considered that. I don't know what's possible. I know when it was built, there was supposed to be another bay on. Couldn't afford it at the time. This was in 2000. So we made sure that the septic that was put in, though, was far enough away that you could still meet the requirements. Sorry.
That's too.
So we do have the TAM report for the public works additions, options from approximately 2020,
I think.
Yeah. If they want to look at that as a reference.
We'll make sure they have all that information.
Okay.
Next one is symmetry, page 34. And there's only one project in the that department. It's fencing and a gate set with Lakeview Cemetery. The cost of that one is $20,000.
So that's the fencing just along the front? So
yeah, just along the front.
Lakeview.
It's looking pretty ratty.
Yeah.
Get some new colored fence.
Well, I know
the
road sort of thing, so as the snow got high enough.
Snow will build right into it.
Right into it. Not necessarily over, okay.
So I think I recall that this number 28,000, that is that the reserve fund for the perpetual care as well, or is that a different reserve fund?
That's the reserve fund for that, for the cemetery reserve fund for that purpose.
Right, so on the list here isn't any monument repair or restabilization in for St. Stephen's. So is that going to be one of the projects for this coming year for the monuments?
Yep.
So where is that in the budget?
I don't.
It was under perpetual care, right?
Yeah.
And wasn't that 78,000? That reserve?
No, this is we funded on our reserve account. You know that 78,000 you're talking about. That's a cemetery account we have.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's not the same. So the
okay. So they're two,
the perpetual
two
care.
Different.
Perpetual care.
Okay. Yeah.
I don't think we normally put it in our capital budget, but that project is undergo, and in St. Stephen's has always been included in that assessment that we had done for fixing monuments.
It didn't say that in the report.
I think that was just an error in the report. I took pictures, and the monument company actually visited all the cemeteries, including St. Stephen's, and gave us their thoughts on how to do it. So and pricing. So it's not gonna be. Mary mentioned it to me today, and it's always been included. I said I know when we transferred the pictures, one of them got mislabeled because I took pictures up at St. Stephen's and they didn't get labeled properly. So it looked like it wasn't being included, but it was all cemeteries.
Well, it's good to hear that because it was confusing when you read it. Yeah.
Yeah. And my thoughts on that is we'll do a few every year. Worst is first, you know what I mean?
Well, yeah, you know that's
it's just an ongoing thing. It'll be for forever. And some years we may not have many when we get caught up. But I don't think we can do them all in the first year. And the company actually just reached out this morning and said they're coming Monday to start. They didn't know if they'd get here this fall, but they're coming Monday.
That's great.
So I said Mike would appreciate it if they start up at St. Stephen's.
I
was looking out for you.
I was thinking about it the last couple of days, and I'm thinking, boy, this is great weather for, you know, because I was out there the other day, and I seen a few more monuments that are just ready to topple over, and it's like, what do? Wait for these things to topple over and break, and then, you know, then you're dealing with a totally different, what the process that you have to do. And the price goes up.
Yeah, by the time we gave them the approval, by the time it went through council, they said, okay, we're gonna try and get here in this fall, but no promises. If not, we'll be there first thing in the spring. And so it's good to hear that they called today and they're coming Monday. So
excellent.
They'll get something then. Anyway.
Good, that's great.
So hopefully the weather holds for them.
Yeah. Awesome.
So just to make clear, Roshan, it's 78,000 in perpetual care, and that will cover the... this monuments, and there's 28,000 in cemetery reserve.
Yeah.
Okay, thanks.
Next one is parks and recreation, page 37. So we have been discussing about the playground equipments last couple of meetings, and we already applied for the grant with the NHFC, and the total cost of the project is $365,000, and it will cover five locations: Armstrong Beach, Minerva Park, Stewart Park, Broadbent Park, and Maplewood Park. So if the grant is approved, then it most probably will get up to the $200,000 out of $365,000.
Now those images, they're just in there.
Those are the actual renderings in each park.
Okay.
So if council has any concerns with the structures, to let us know.
So each structure is a little bit different from the other?
No, the color is different. Some of the structures are the same, just the colors are different, just to differentiate between the parks.
I just didn't want a situation where people in one area say, well, you got the better playground equipment. comparable. You mentioned two accessible ones, though, would be...
Correct. So Armstrong and Minerva are different, and the remaining parks all have the same structure. So Armstrong is a bit more accessible, and Minerva is also a bit more accessible, and the other parks have less accessible features on them, but they are the same, just different colors.
Are they going more to plastic than steel?
Yes.
Or are they,
yeah, that's what we're finding.
So these will last twice as long?
There's more features on the parks that are along Highway 124, being Armstrong and Minerva. Just there should be more children playing there, as there's events like Fall Fair, people come to beaches. You're also having visitors along the Highway 124 corridor, whereas the other parks in certain neighborhoods in the township will likely only see the children that reside around them, so they're a little smaller. But still good size structures.
Yeah, they look good.
I was in Barrie a couple weekends ago near my son's house in the park there, and they had, I didn't think there was anything wrong with the stuff they had there in the first place, but they replaced all of it, and apparently he said Barrie did all of their parks as well with similar equipment. Some of the stuff looks pretty much exactly what they've got, so and I didn't see anything wrong with what they had. So anyway, and I assume they probably, they wouldn't qualify for Northern Ontario, would they? No. I don't know. But
we don't know how far it's stretched. They might.
Yeah, that's true. Anyhow, I'm sure they probably got a grant. It'll be like Perry Sound, right? All of a sudden they go boom and do them all. So that would be a big deal. So, Dave, can I ask a question?
I haven't been able to stop you yet. Yes, go ahead.
You can try. At the moment, under parks, and parks isn't necessarily the right place for it, but in terms of facilities, I noticed that we don't have anything about Minerva Park, which frankly, in my opinion, from working there in the parking area during the markets, we need to look at doing some things in there, mostly to get rid of the flooding that happens of the entire grassy area. What that causes, what I observed when I'm there, is that most people, I think we actually park more people at Public Works than we do in Minerva because there's not that many spots. And we have a lot of people, older than me, it's hard to believe that's possible, but anyhow, that walk down the highway and then walk in, and some of them try and cross the, well, they all have to cross the highway, but cross the highway, and some of them try to go through the park, which is just a swamp, right, and there's no chance at all you could walk through there with anything but boots and not get soaked. I think we should actually look at getting an engineer in there just to tell us what we could do. Possibly to expand the space for more parking, and here perhaps maybe the most important part, the thing I observe many times during a market day is people coming westbound on 124 that are trying to pull in at the entrance, which is at the west end, if you want to call it that, frequently get backed up or whatever, and so that the traffic is at a standstill. There are sometimes people coming from the west too, because they can't get in there because that entranceway is quite narrow and quite steep. The sides are, I've always thought, if anybody ever didn't make that corner, they'd go right down the ditch and possibly right into the lake because it's so narrow. So there's that issue, plus the drainage, plus the parking. I think there's an opportunity too to potentially replace the facilities that we have there, the outhouses that we have from Weeks Brothers, if I'm right, doesn't matter who it's from, but and I know there are some new things. I went looking before I came, and I couldn't find any examples of them where they built concrete structures that have, like the bathroom, the toilet, and a basin inside, and then they use a holding tank to store it in and just get the holding tank pumped out, which would certainly be, I don't know if you've been in any of those outhouses at Minerva. They're not very pleasant, I'll say that, so... I don't know, and again, I have no idea of the cost for doing that, but I think my assumption is that we have more people going through Minerva Park during the summer when the market is running than in all of our other parks put together, right? I know that Jan has told me on occasion that she feels that on Sundays they get as many as 1,000 people an hour that go through Minerva Park, and it's on the highway and it's got a great deal of visibility, I think it would be worthwhile to try and do something that way and to try and find at least a nominally safer way for people to have to cross the road from Public Works. I do have a list of a couple of other things here, but that's not really the point. I think the big things are parking, safety, and just being able to have it look better as by, you know, doing something with the washrooms. And again, if we're paying $400 a month, which we are, something like that, for the three outhouses at Minerva, you know, we would have some savings from that. It's not substantial, but it would certainly, I think, be much better received. And I know we talked about this, I think, at this week's meeting about people stopping on the highway, nothing to do with Minerva, or nothing to do with coming to the park. They're simply using the facilities as they drive through town. So I don't know what you think about any of that, and I don't know if there's anything we could do with the western entrance or the entrance closest to Perry's End, I'll call it that, because I know over there it's never clear to me which way's north. But anyhow, I think it's something that we could look at. I mean, and obviously price would be a factor for it as well, but it would be nice to see what we could do. If we could dry out that grassy area, then I think that we could possibly add some more gravel in there, maybe have angled parking as you came in, rather than just parking. The other problem, and I'm sure you see this regularly, people that come in there mostly with pickup trucks and back up onto the, I'm going to call it the north side, the side closest to the highway, sink their wheels in there. I had a guy that actually had to get towed. I can't remember, this was like in June, I think, July maybe, I don't know, and backed up. And I said, only go back up to the edge of the grass, because if you go further, you're going to sink. And he says, I've got four-wheel drive. I said, so do I, but I don't recommend trying to use it on a lawn. Right, he did, and he needed a tow to get out of there. So a constable came and gave him, they were out of there in like 5 minutes and just pulled him out, and that was that. But again, the parking is extremely restrictive there. It'd be nice if we could get vehicles consistently on both sides of the parking area, anyhow. And I think it would make a big difference.
But again, that's something that a previous council looked at. I think one of the suggestions, I don't know if you recall, a tunnel under the road, I think, was one of the suggestions.
But anyway, that's been looked at over the years because of that section. You're right, it's quite wet, and I don't know whether, I mean, there was even the possibility years back of getting a study done, and it never materialized. I know last council looked at that too, and I think that was on the CAO's list of things to be done in that area. And it's something I guess the road crew could look at, see what they could do as far as moving some of the drainage around and through the culverts. Again, the thing you have to be very careful of in that location is MTO.
Yeah.
And everything you do there.
Yeah.
So I would say that wet part in the middle, yes. But I don't know how much you can do with it with that big bank that they have there too. So
yeah.
I think it's important, yes. But how far we can go, I think I'll leave that up to Tom and maybe get an engineer to look at it too. The person who was looking at it previously was actually a landscaper and was going to charge so much for doing the study,
yeah,
and then putting in that plant, I guess, or flower bed around the sign of Minerva Park.
Okay.
But that was too expensive too at the time. Yeah. So.
One other thing that isn't connected to Minerva, but last week at the Christmas market, I walked over to the new Ball Diamond area to look at the parking there. And I observed that we have a single lane driveway that comes in and out of there, and when people were trying to both get in and get out, then it caused, again, the same kind of issue, it causes traffic out on 124 to just stop and back up and be, you know, multi-layered and everything else. And it never even occurred to me that that was the case. And I also heard from Rob Gibson about the one at the north side, the old Ball Diamond, if you want me to call it that, that we have a gate down there, and again, it's only a single lane there. I don't think that would be a big deal. I think we could simply add either a second gate or make a bigger gate and make it so that you could potentially get a car in and a car out at the same time, rather than just one at a time. And again, it isn't really an issue for a huge portion of the time, but when there's people out on the highway trying to get in and they can't because somebody's trying to get out, it causes traffic to back up, and I think it's a matter of time till somebody has an accident.
Well, I'm not disagreeing, but I'm thankful we've got an entrance,
yeah,
and an exit from MTO. To push for a double one, I wouldn't want to push them.
And the same thing with the new one? Yeah?
They're hard to deal with.
Okay. they wouldn't think of it. It's not common to get a double one.
Maybe after a traffic study report.
Yeah. In an environmental study.
10 years, yeah. Okay, in any event, it's just a comment.
Yeah, that's no, it's a comment.
Because, you know,
it's a big issue. They do a great job with that market, and I like to see it successful, but I'll keep my mouth shut.
Okay.
We've got a perfectly good facility here, and I don't know why we're not using it.
You yeah, know. Don't go there.
Yeah.
Keep your mouth shut.
That's what I said. I couldn't. Because they kill the grass.
We'll put some more top it up.
Put more
just
kill
in
it.
There.
Just
top
kill
it,
it again.
Top it up.
Kill it again.
I've said my piece.
Huh?
AstroTurf.
Yeah, put AstroTurf.
Yeah, I'm a little surprised that I never really paid attention that going into the new ball diamond that will only accommodate one with the vehicle. And that is an oversight, kind of. That should have been.
Well, when
have
we were
capabilities
running,
of in and out.
When we were running Ribfest, because the fence that's the other side of the rink wasn't there at that point. There was people that could come in and then drive around the rink and then come back out through the paved parking lot, or vice versa, and they did, right? So that was interesting. So when I walked over there last weekend, I looked and thought, yeah, okay, that fence is new. I hadn't seen that, and now you can't do that anymore. And I'm not suggesting we change it. It's just, you know, it's kind of awkward without ever expecting that it would be awkward. So.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
Hey, is that it for?
Yes.
Other projects?
I have something for Tom.
Any more questions?
It has something to do with budget, but I'm hoping it's out of this year's budget, and that would be lines on the new Herdville Road.
Mm-hmm. We are getting late. We've been talking to them, our line painters, and we have a quote. And I would need to bring a report to you, so we'll get even later. Because line painting is a perpetual thing. If you paint a line, you paint it for the rest of that road's life. Mm-hmm. So $14,000 to get the lines painted, plus tax, on the section that's completed already. All right. We had 23 in the budget last year for line painting, and you see the little bit of line painting we did around the township. Mm-hmm. So that will still be there. And we spent it all.
I'm thinking.
So, and it's just, they might not be able to do it this year.
We really got to push for that. I'm getting a lot of complaints from a lot of people, and I've driven it at nighttime, especially when it's wet, and you can't see anything, and I don't know if it has anything to do with people's auto-dimming vehicles now, but they're not dimming until the last second, even if you meet them on a straightaway, because it's so dark. I don't think it's giving off any light, enough light from the oncoming vehicle. And I'm getting complaints from a lot of respectable people that don't complain in this township, that basically they're saying to me, morally, you have to get lines on that road.
Fowler is expected to be completed on Monday. On Monday we could move a line painter in, but it's an item that I don't do without council approving it, because it's an ongoing cost. You'll pay that every year.
And I'm thinking going forward. Every year or every couple of years?
You've got to maintain it to a certain standard. So putting it down in poor weather, if they do have time to put it down, how long is it going to last?
So the line painting that we had done this year, we can expect to have to do that again next year?
I'm hoping, because they did it so late, that we might get next year, that we might be able to post. But it's a visual inspection, and if it needs to be done, it needs to be done. Typically, it's done every year.
That's not so much the parking spaces. That they would be good for a few years, probably.
The paint doesn't last as long as it used to, because they're mandated to use water-based paint.
Yeah. But I'm thinking the...
in Ontario.
We're going to be tearing up the second part of Herdville Road, working on that, and well, hopefully sooner than later, whether the whole project could be done all at once, and then you're doing it rather than bringing it back the second time.
And that's a long time. Mm-hmm. I haven't had anybody call me yet.
Okay, I can start directing.
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm glad you brought it up, because if they're not coming to me, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I still can't help them without a decision from council to pay them.
Well, I'd like to see council pass a resolution that we get those lines put on that road as soon as possible. Is what I would hope would hit the table very soon, and council can make a decision on it.
Like today?
I don't know if that's possible. But
I think the other thing we have to be assured of is that this is a good time to do it. I mean, otherwise, it's wasted money.
Only if weather's going to allow it.
Right.
As I joked with one of these people, they didn't find it too funny. I said, oh, I thought they did put the line down, but right on the snow, and then they plowed it back off again.
No, not
trying to lighten the moment, but they didn't laugh too much at all. No, I'm really getting it. Pretty heavy. Either got to stop socializing, or we got to get that road paved, because I hear about it. Wednesday nights, a lot of the guys meet and they drive that road.
Yeah.
And then Friday nights, they have cards and Herdville. Well, just that's the hot subject in that building.
And it's got to be the new pavement, because the lines that were on there, on the old surface, mm-hmm. were just about faded away.
Mm-hmm.
So it's got to be the reflection off the shiny
yeah.
pavement.
It's so dark.
Yeah. Also kind of very hard to spot
nothing.
The edge, right? Because
yeah,
the just blends
it's hard
in
to tell. People
out.
Are going to be going off the edge.
Yeah.
They got to
yeah.
start doing
that.
Okay.
And that is a common complaint as soon as a road is paved, because it is so dark.
Mm-hmm.
We've heard it throughout the years, especially at night, especially when it's foggy, especially when there's a bit of snow
mm-hmm.
where you can't see the edge of the road, you know, where normally you can see, you know, the edge line, or even the center line, where you can at least be able to navigate at nighttime, basically, is the time where there is that concern.
Yeah, so whether allows it or not, I think I'd like to see council give the go-ahead to you, and you'll just have to go, well, if the weather never comes about, I guess we'd need, a week of dry, I guess. Huh?
Then you need to give me that go-ahead right now today, because the next council meeting's the 2nd. And that'll be too late.
Well,
so if you want to do it up today, and I will work on getting it done, and it still is weather permitting.
Okay, sounds like currently I'll get it onto the table,
and then if Roshan, so how much do you estimate that section is going to be?
If we do fog lines too, and it sounds like by your discussions that you need fog lines, if you can't see the edge, it's the safest. So center line and fog lines for that much is just over 14 plus tax, $14,000.
So do we have the money?
Well, yeah. That's the other question is,
do we have the money to do that now?
I will take out $15,000 out of that $1.9 million. And
don't we have money left over from the Herdville Bridge railing project?
We do.
Yeah.
Bob spent that three times over.
we have been chipping away at it, absolutely.
Fowler's, we haven't got a bill for Fowler's for the paving because they're not done.
Mm-hmm.
But coming from the engineer, they were under on their tonnage. As you know, they're paid by the ton to put the asphalt down. There should be a savings of around $35,000.
Mm-hmm. So if we can confirm that there is the money available, because the other thing is, because people feel that the road is that much higher,
mm-hmm.
the ditches are that much steeper, they are relaying safety concerns just with that.
Oh, yeah.
So if you can, you know, at least mitigate some of that concern with fog lines on the edges, then I think that's due diligence of being one step ahead.
It seems standard. I've been driving around a little bit in the other townships, and I know McDougal just did some Oak Ridge Road, I guess it would be, down in there, and that's not a through road. That's just a back little subdivision road, and they did the fog lines and the line down.
I am not a fan of line painting, but I like the fog line with the center line.
Yeah.
And in training seminars I've been to, it's proven to slow traffic down, because there's a perception in your mind that the lane is narrower and you tend
right.
to drive slower. Then when that road is, you've got two lanes, then you're a NASCAR driver.
Yeah.
Did you?
So it's helpful in many ways.
Yeah.
Did you ever notice when they first did the lines,
on, say, Balsam Road, when they first did the lines, when I was coming out of the house, coming to McKellar, it seemed like that side was so much wider. I thought, who measured this, right? And then when I came back, it looked like the other side was wider. Do you notice that?
Yeah, really, you get that feeling on corners, especially, you get the sensation that, hey, this isn't fair.
Yeah,
I was thinking, oh, my God, they screwed that up.
I know this isn't my place to speak, but it has been relayed to me, and it may be prudent to mention at this time how I would definitely support the fog lines. It has been relayed to me that people are concerned about the false width of plowing with the excess height in the road right now compared to what people are used to, having that fall-off area where they think there's road. Mm-hmm. So having that line being able to be visible through a small skid of snow or something would probably help.
And another thing about perception and the way our minds work, the road isn't any higher.
The road isn't
any higher.
Yeah, no.
Optical.
It just
looks.
It looks higher.
And we have ditches now.
Yeah. With no weeds in them.
Yeah.
When you get weeds in them that tall.
Yeah, I know.
It's
just as deep. You just didn't know.
You just didn't know it was there.
So the line is better than dots we had on Center Road initially.
Well, When I talked to Tom briefly about it, saying I'm getting complaints about it, I mentioned to Tom about even if the temporary dots for this year, you know, if we can't do the rest of weather, that would be, if we're trying, if we have this motion, it's obviously we will do it if time and weather allows it.
And you don't need to put it in the resolution if you're drawing up a resolution, but I will talk to Fowler now that they're completing the project and ask them if they have those yellow dots to put down, because it was the previous construction company that put them down when they were done paving.
Oh, yeah.
So if the line painter can't get here, those dots still are helpful.
They're helpful.
Yes.
Yeah. And I think people would understand, okay, there you go.
There is a liability thing. There's certain corners and things that probably were obligated to paint, and we're probably not obligated to leave them unpainted for 6 months or more.
So let's give it our best shot anyway.
Yeah.
Okay, other...
Another
project, okay.
Yes, unfortunately it is. It was touched on, but again, on Mike touching on the Park Center Road that will need done in however many years, if we can do something to make it reasonable now. I would highlight that one bad corner near Stewart's Park. If we could smooth that out somehow or another, I think even without Solarian or Michael filling the rest of it, I think people would be satisfied with that road for the next few years.
It'll cost money, but we will have the opportunity. The solution for that corner is the traffic is too aggressive for the double surface treatment.
Yeah.
It needs pavement. Okay. So when they pave the balance of Hurdville Road, what about we get them to pulverize that section and pave it, pave what's there? It'll be the cheapest, easiest thing to do, but we'd have to, there will be a cost to it.
Is there anything left of the Hurdville Bridge?
Let's check it out.
That was gone by August.
Okay, if we could get a cost on that then for budget meeting.
We can make it part of the balance of that Hurdville Road project. We haven't tendered it yet.
Right.
Yeah.
Council can think about whether you think just doing that corner would keep us from major expenditure for a few years.
It will.
Yeah.
It will.
Yeah, and then the study will determine the micro seal and on the rest of it. So
we'll
be going over that part too then, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Any other big projects? Roche, I said, no. My pen's on the ring. Yeah.
I mean, it's pen.
Okay, we'll go back to fire then.
There's not a lot.
It's okay.
And that wasn't a real call, that was
yes.
My guy's call. Uh
oh.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry about having to leave in a hurry there.
Okay. All yours. I'm sure Roshan wants to walk through or call on a couple pages there. So
all this starts on the page number 9. And the first item on the page number 9 is SBS. So self-contained breathing apparatus. Total cost of that project is $252,352.59.
So that's it's a one-shot deal and all has to be done at once, or?
Yes, that's a one-shot deal. It'll last us for 20 years until we have to replace them again. Our packs that we have right now, the old MSAs, they've reached the end of their serviceable lifespan and cannot be recertified anymore. It's just a necessary expenditure. This is how we breathe in a fire and otherwise compromised atmospheres. So
these are fairly universal. Doesn't matter who's wearing them, or they're not size
related. No, they're not size related. They are universal. Everybody will buy one pack with one set of straps, one set of everything that goes with it, and then everybody can use it. We need 16 of them.
Now, is that a possibility, Roshan, at that point? I know that they never provided grants for fire departments, but for something like that, is that something you can look into? Or?
We don't have, I didn't find any grant related to that. So,
no, okay. Yeah. I just wondered, because Carney's getting a fairly substantial grant for a new fire hall.
Yes, that's the infrastructure. NOHFC I've spoken to, and they will not do equipment, they will do infrastructure.
No.
So I have... this was identified back when I did the SWOT analysis in 2022, when I first started. And we pushed it out as far into the runway as we could. And so now it's just a matter of, it's just a necessary purchase. So,
what do they do with the old ones?
Well, there's several lines of thought. One of them that we have been working on was... the donation to Firefighters Without Borders.
Mm-hmm.
I have been in conversation with a gentleman from Firefighters Without Borders about potentially donating these, and in exchange, and this is all very high level at this time, there is a truck that may actually be donated to several of the fire departments in our area that is capable of filling those air cylinders on scene. So we no longer have to pay somebody to go into Perry Sound and use the only compressor that's available to us. We could actually take a truck to the scene, take a truck to a training night, and so forth, and essentially share that training. Share that that truck, that apparatus. McDougal's fire chief, Pat Shoebottom, has been sort of spearheading that, and I've been providing him with the contacts because I have that conflict on the other side there, which is where it would be coming from, right? So that is a potential landing spot for them. We could sell them, but these would only be really used by a private firm, somebody who is not, I'll be honest, I don't know who they would be used by, because anybody who does confined space, anybody who does, chemical plants or anything that's got a compromised atmosphere, they're all going to have similar regulations to what we have. So I believe that donating them to a place like Kenya, a lot easier to ship than a truck, and that was the idea, and they don't deal with the same regulations that we do. So.
Thank you.
No problem.
Just a random question.
Yeah, no, that's fine. So we have had different vendors in, we have done our nights where we've tried out packs and stuff like that. The clerk and myself have built an RFP that is essentially ready to publish and ready to go with council's blessing. The timeline that we have to work with on this that I've been given is that supply is essentially influenced heavily by the big boys, by the big departments. If a Toronto or a Brampton, and I know Brampton is currently looking at new packs, if another bigger center is placing an order next year, we get put on the back burner because we're 16. And they're going to supply 400 and some odd to them. So the supply timeline that I've been given is anywhere from 8 weeks to 8 months.
Which is made in Canada? Or?
They are not made in Canada, no.
Where are they made?
In the U.S. There's no.
Okay. As long as it's not China.
there's really nothing we can do about it. There's very few different types of these things out there, right? We have our favorites and so forth, and we've built the RFP to support the features that we felt were most desirable, as well as fit in best with our mutual aid counterparts. We do calls. We did the call the other day when we were sitting here, where we, you know, send crews in to help out with a house fire in another township, and the ability to have exactly the same equipment sure would come in handy, because you just swap bottles and you just keep going, right? Anyways, we've got it built, and we have the intention of placing an order in the beginning of January, if possible, because we have to accommodate that 8-month timeline at the worst case scenario. After August of next year, we don't have SCBAs.
Can we use Canoe for this?
We have vendors that are available on Canoe, but not all of them.
Okay.
And unfortunately, the one that our people tried out, again, we had different vendors come up. We tried them out. The one that our people filled out surveys for and decided they liked the best, which also happens to be the one that Perry Sound, Seguin, McDougall, and Carling all use together, is not available on Canoe. Or else that would have been really easy.
Sure.
Yeah, very easy.
Have to talk to Canoe and get them to look at
it. I'm actually shocked that it's not there. So, yeah.
Is that because it cost them money by going through Canoe? Do you know?
I couldn't tell you.
Yeah.
I couldn't venture a guess. I couldn't tell
okay.
you.
Okay, tower?
Yeah, next item is Balsam Tower Decommission. Cost of that project is $12,500.
This is carryover from our contract with Max Tower. The money is that's all budgeted and essentially carried over from this year for the decommissioning of that tower. We have loosely discussed other options with it, but at this point in time, it's prudent to leave that in the budget so that if it is needed, then it's there.
Hydrants?
Two dry hydrants. One is Camp Majala Road, and the other one is Tate Island Road. The total cost of those two dry hydrants is $18,000.
So, building on the hydrant plan that was given to you earlier in the year, where we talked about the installation of two hydrants this year, one being in the core area here, and one being on the Stewart Park boat launch, we were able to achieve the Stewart Park boat launch. When the head of roads and myself went and really started digging into the area down there, it became a dog's breakfast is a really good way of. We don't know whose water line goes where and what, and I can't imagine the blowback if all of a sudden we cut somebody's water supply off and it's like, oh my goodness, this is a nightmare. So we have the equipment already, the pieces. Already in storage at Station 2, and the remainder of the budget from this year has just been added on to the 13 that we would have mimicked from last year, and the roads super and myself, we will identify. Camp Majala is easy. That's
yeah.
it. That one's a piece of cake. Tate's Island, a little bit more complicated, but again, we're not anticipating any of the degree of difficulty that we saw at the government docks. Finding a new place for the one at Government Docks that covers that area, sits within that zone that I marked on the plan that we had, is going to be key, and we're just going to have to essentially spend a day, maybe go out in a boat and just check depths and check what the ground is like and what we would be affecting if we got into it. It's very much a shame because we had the MOE permit and everything all set up, and we're going to have to allow that to expire.
But that, I can't remember the exact location. Some of that's still the Armstrong Estate along there, where the docks and that are. The township doesn't own that property.
Yeah, we had a location that we had to remove the hydrant from, if you remember. Unfortunately, that would have been ideal to keep, but for reasons out of our control, it had to come out. So finding something commensurate to that is going to be, you know, key. So and the individual that requested the removal of the last one will send. I would not go knocking on that door. That's not a. I don't think that's an option.
No.
Yeah. So. So, again, this is just an extension of last year's budget with a bit of carryover from this year's, this is just a mere image of this year's budget with a carryover from this year into next year. And that is to help also cover the expenses that our roads department is going to incur, having their guys come for a couple hours, having the rental of the equipment, the cost of the gravel and so forth that we use. So the actual cost of the hydrants sits in and around $8,000, and we've allotted $5,004 to help pay his bill, right? So it doesn't have to come out of his budget.
Next project is backup power of two fire halls and public works garage. Total cost of that one is $58,970.
So identified in the emergency plan and identified in the SWOT analysis is we have two fire halls and a roads garage that are key pieces of infrastructure for our township that don't have power when the lights go out. And so if we ever had a declared emergency in the winter and we have to make repairs to plows in order to keep them on the road, if we had anything like that, we don't have, if this building happened to go down, fire hall number one is our alternate EOC. It's also an alternate evacuation point. Fire hall number two is a warming area and an alternate evacuation point for residents of the township where they can go get shelter and so forth. We have applied through the emergency preparedness grant, a $50,000 grant. We had a meeting with them last year after we were unsuccessful in getting it, and they essentially, we fine-tuned the language to something that they would, that they found would be a shoe, essentially. They gave us the answers. And so we've applied again for this grant. The grant is $50,000. The $8,970 covers a little bit of an overrun for, you know, the cost of hooking up the propane that's already existing with these buildings into the backup generator and so forth. So 90-some-odd% of the project is going to be covered if we get this grant. If we don't, then we have the option, because we've deferred it the last 2 years, we have the option to defer it until next year, try again for the grant. So the ask is a pseudo ask. It's mostly not an ask. If we're successful, it'll be covered almost entirely.
Is it a standby generator?
Yeah, a Generac system. Okay. We have a local contractor who's provided us the quotes for it. He's given us the quotes every year for it, and he'll be able to get that installed. They've already done site visits, and so it's all good.
How many kilowatts?
There are different kilowatts for different buildings, because Tom's building will require a lot more in terms of firing up welders and stuff like that, as opposed to fire halls where we're talking about warmth and power. Okay. Right. So I think the fire hall was a 14 kilowatt, and Tom's was a 27. It's a big one, but it requires a lot of, especially if that building is ever expanded or whatever, it's got a very key role in us dealing with weather incidents, right?
Yeah.
It doesn't only have to be a winter thing. We lost summer power, three times this year for several hours at a time. So it can keep the guys working, right?
Yeah.
So.
Next item is training facility, $10,000 cost.
So the unexpected but very positive outcome for us with the paving of Kirkville Road was the grading and flattening of that area, and the fill that was able to be put in the back of Station 2 created a fantastic extension to our gravel area that we have back there that we've just essentially been using for tearing cars apart and so forth for AutoX training. We now have enough of an area there that the idea that's come up is that we would put a couple of sea cans back there and create essentially smokehouses that we can light a fire in. We can also use fake smoke if we had to, and with obstacles and so forth, and so people, we can do like breaching drills and get people more immersed into what the environment of actually fighting a fire feels like. Low visibility, high heat, you know, compromised atmosphere, all these things, being able to go in and actually flow water, because it's just going to run out and go on drain through the gravel, and so there's no harm, no foul to anything. That's all like a fantastic experience for our firefighters, because we don't get that regular exposure. It could be once a year that we, you know, have to really get into a fire, and then have that confidence and that ability to practice our own rescue drills, as well as how to properly breach a door and ventilate a structure and stuff like that. That's all fantastic to have. And so in discussion with the association firefighters, they're willing to actually do an in-kind contribution to this if the township will help pay for the purchase of the C-cans, and we'd like to get two or three. So we're looking at a $6,000 to $10,000 purchase there. Then the association will kick in and help pay for the like cost of a welder to come in and cut doors for us, and to actually the materials to build a stage inside there, so that we can create obstacles and things that we can use to be able to train on these finer skills. So I thought that was fantastic when we had that discussion, and so this has been put into the budget as sort of a partnership on a training center, if it was feasible.
Councilor Kekkonen.
Do they need to be special C-cans? Because at the waste disposal site, we have approximately 8 of them that haven't moved for approximately 10 years. That
not at all. A C-can is a C-can to us, as long as the metal has not been compromised and it's structurally sound, then we can put people on it, in it, through it, and cut doors and so forth, weld stairs to it, create roof hatches. As long as they're structurally sound, we'll use, that would be absolutely fine to be able to do that.
And make good use of the equipment.
All right. Can talk to the public works superintendent and see if that's an option.
Yeah. Yeah, if you have them, and I was not aware of us having them.
You have some sea cans for
me? Maybe.
I didn't say
it. if the opportunity exists, then fantastic. The last look that I had was acceptable condition sea cans will run us in the neighborhood of $2,800 to $3,200. We don't need single trip mint condition sea cans, because quite frankly we're going to mess them up anyways. Right? What these will last us a very long time. Curling has had their two in place for probably 20 years, and so it just becomes a piece of infrastructure that the fire department will then maintain for our own purposes, not to store anything at any time, but just to use for training.
Well, that'd be useful to have a look at those, yeah. See if they work.
Yeah, I didn't even know they existed, but that's fantastic.
Just look down at the bottom next time they're past where the household garbage bins are.
Mm-hmm.
Just look past that, and you'll see some waste disposal bins, 40-yard bins down there.
Okay. And if bins, so no roof?
No.
Okay, I need a roof.
Mm-hmm.
You need a roof to be able to contain the smoke, or else you can't. That's the only. Yeah. Unfortunately, yeah. If
unless
any of them had roofs, then
unless you put them upside down,
then I don't know about the structural integrity of stacking. Right? I don't know how that would work.
Okay. Well, take a look.
I'll go have a look at them. If it's feasible to use something like that, then it's desirable for sure. Yeah.
Well, maybe if they don't have a roof, if you tip two onto their sides toward each other.
But if I'm putting people on them,
yeah,
or in them, are they going to shift? Are they going to, we're talking about welding and stuff here. And the last thing you need to do is have some heat go into that building, and then all of a sudden it balloons on you or something.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas that stable structure of a full C can prevents that. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So.
Mm-hmm. Worth investigating anyway, sounds like it to me. But
I'll have a look at them. I didn't even know they were there, so I'll go have a look at them. And if there are complete C cans there, unless
they're on those, they have open lids that open on the top, so it's not a solid roof. It's actual lids that open on the top and a screen. So it doesn't seem like it's compatible unless the welders, when they come, then they weld that panel on there.
And that would have to be solid to contain the smoke and the heat, and that probably a lot of metal that we're purchasing to, I don't know how.
Yeah, so you take a look and just thought that might be an option. But
okay. I will definitely have a look. What was the other? As far as the SCBAs, the one thing that we didn't discuss, sorry to interrupt, is the we have applied for a grant that goes along with the SCBAs, not unfortunately to pay for the SCBAs, but the anti-cancer grant that the OFM has released, SCBA bottles are eligible to go underneath that grant. So the grant that we applied for, which is $32,000, $30,000 of that was earmarked for the purchase of 16 SCBA bottles. So the total number that you're seeing there, minus the amount of money that we have in savings, minus $30,000 for the grant, which apparently we're in very good condition for, that would be the actual expense of the SCBAs. So from the, from the 252 and change, you're talking about minus 80 that we have in the bank.
Page 13 will give you the detail. So 252 is the total cost, and out of that, 75,000 will be used. Equipment reserve will be used against the that amount, and the levy supported is 147,352, and the fire protection grant is 30,000.
Yeah. So the actual cost, new money cost for this is the 147 for the full suite of SCBAs.
Yeah, except that we'll be putting more money back into the equipment reserve. So
yes, but I mean,
eventually, I know.
Yeah, that's. I mean, it's just like the trucks, right? We need to. If we save for the trucks, it impacts us less in the future.
Yeah.
Right. So. And as far as vehicles go, we've got a good 15-year runway there before we have to concern ourselves with that, which is positive because I know that this gentleman has a few coming up in the next couple of years that need to be earmarked for. So, yes, sir. Oh, man. Sorry. I apologize.
Getting late in the day here.
I worked last night. Yes. It was a very long night. I apologize.
I forgot what I was going to say. So you don't have a lifetime for the trucks, like the Public Works saying 7 years. Is that right, Tom?
It's preferable. We typically keep them 10.
But is it legislated anywhere?
It's not legislated, but it is a direction from the insurance underwriters, where they will not consider a frontline apparatus beyond the 20-year mark. It gets downgraded.
Okay.
So 20 years is our runway. Our oldest vehicle is a 2012, but now thanks to the new Mini Pumper, it is no longer a frontline vehicle.
Right.
So we have an extended runway of that, that we can go to 15 years, because on secondary vehicles you can get 25.
Okay, good.
So that's hence the 15 years. So we have plenty of time to be able to put our 50,000 away per year. To help soften the impact, we can pay for half of it by the time we have to do a new one. Right? Or more.
And you do realize that's all recorded, is this what you're saying?
Absolutely. When I provided the the flow chart for what expenses we had for 5-year runway, we're pretty much right on.
Yeah.
Major expenditures after this year, and the only thing we have to do after this year is we have ice rescue suits expiring. That's a lot less than anything we've talked about for the past 4 years.
Yeah. Great.
So there's no major expenses in the next 10 years, right, other than that?
Nothing foreseen. Nothing within my control.
We've got a record of it, though.
You have a record. We've been pretty solid. Yeah.
Any question for our fire chief?
That was good, thank you. From my perspective, yeah.
Okay. Are we clear to release the RFP, I think, or?
Yeah.
and ready to go.
Do you want to review it prior to us?
Yeah, I think we have to put it in see the big picture, somebody called it. And I don't think it would be taken off the list because of the requirement, like you said, and get the thing going.
Yeah.
But I'm thinking it may be, if we earmark all of these things immediately, then there's not much left for discussion. And some things may be cut that you get upset about later because there's no money. So I'm just wondering if we should do it this soon or just wait a little bit, at least maybe.
We can start the RFP process now because ultimately council will be awarding it. So
okay.
Once we get the bids in, a report to council will come, and then ultimately at that time you can decide whether you're awarding that time or if you're not.
Okay.
But it may
yeah.
be good to get the process started now. As the fire chief mentioned, we may have an 8-month window. So if we can place an order in January, then we can have them prior to our deadline of August.
We pretty much guarantee that they show up prior to our deadline,
mm-hmm.
right? Because that's worst case scenario is what I've intended. We built the RFP to have a closing date of December the 12th, which means that a report will be on time for
okay.
the second meeting in December,
yeah.
prior to the Christmas break and the New Year.
Sounds good. Yes.
So what happens if, for some unknown reason, it's delayed till after August? What do you do? What if they don't get them or put you on a list to get them to 27 or something?
I'm pretty darn confident that we'll see them within 4 months.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but I can't guarantee it because this is what I've been the
yeah.
direction that I've been given.
But
what would we do? That's a great question for the lawyers because I can't, in good faith, put somebody in a compromised atmosphere knowing that if something happens to them, they, you know, after they're expired, well, now we have to explain why did we put somebody in that position knowing full well that they were expired. So,
Councilor Peckin?
Would the mutual aid agreement kick in a situation like that where
they don't have enough to supply us with the necessary amount that we would need? You have a basic amount that you need to be able to action a fire, right? I need to have a certain amount of people packed up, certain amount of people available to go on air on the lawn so that if there is an incident, they can go immediately in. I know that all the other departments, they essentially have ordered the ones that they need, and then they have a spare bottle per pack. Nobody really has a stockpile of stuff lying around.
Okay.
It's a big expense. It's a
yeah.
tough expenditure to justify having something that's just going to sit in the room for 10 years until it might be needed. Right?
Okay.
So,
thanks.
Yeah.
It's another leasing situation, I think. Right?
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. Now, Tom came back. I'm not sure what he's expecting an answer tonight.
No, just wanted to see the rest. We have our surplus backhoe and F-550 on GovDeals right now, and the bids closed in 15 minutes. So I'm kind of watching them, and maybe I can give you some good news here in 15
mm-hmm.
minutes.
You don't get any hints along the way who's bidding on them or anything? Or?
No, but I think it's a public auction, so if public can hear me, I don't think I'm doing anything wrong to tell you. Right now, the backhoe is at $46,500, which is much higher than I expected to get for it. So
mm-hmm.
I'm very pleased.
Mm-hmm. And what about the 550?
It's down around $7,000. That's probably where it should be. I think we're doing well.
Good.
So is that the case, backhoe?
Yes.
Yeah, the one that's always giving you trouble.
Yeah.
So where do we go from here in Committee of the Whole? We can't make any resolutions, so we have to come out of this.
Yeah.
But with the objectives or goals that Roshan started with, I'm a little concerned, can we meet those? He wanted some actual answers, I think, before we left here, but I don't know. Unless you can summarize from here, but it's almost like you have to walk away and look at the worst case scenario and what it would do to us through our levy and that sort of thing, but maybe it's too soon for all of that. Harley has an answer. She got the mic going here.
From my interpretation from today's discussions, I think we need to look at leasing the public works vehicles for version 2, as well bring a new figure for the community center floor to do laminate and not the gymnasium floor. Those are the 2 points that I've made going forward for version 2.
Councilor Hassan.
I think we're just way over. Right, as of right now, something's got to give one way or the other, at least unless the next meeting, Rojan has some, does miracles, I guess. But,
oh, it's that line painting, I think, that pushed us over.
Well, we can still vote that down. But the Hardy's Road project, it pretty much blew my mind when I seen how much that's going to cost. And I don't know how... If we can, with it being an election coming up, whether somehow or another we could internally borrow from our slush fund or internal reserves kind of thing and shift some of that Hardy Road cost into next year's budget. I don't know if we're allowed to do that, being an election year, but I just looking at that as an option. If we are still so far over, it's ridiculous. That we would have, because it's such a major expenditure. So I'm just throwing that out there as a solution if we're in really bad shape.
Councilor Zulak.
So in the back of your mind, Roshan.
In the front.
Sir,
there,
have you
one of the option I was actually thinking about it, and one of the scenario I can think of is that, you know, if we remove the software, 100,000.
Now, just a minute. You wanted that for
I know I wanted, but then I will. At the same time, I think, you know, the you know, the roads are important than anything else. I can, that project can be delayed. It's not like, you know, I need it right away.
And Councillor Ryland will second that.
And other item is that, you know, the if we can use the backhoe, 200,000, which we supposed to buy this year, and use as leasing option. So that plus, if we use superintendent truck on, you know, lease, that will bring that, that will give us 330,000 plus 100,000 from the software, that will give us the 430. Plus we have reserve investment in asset management, and that account we have around 138,314. So that will be around 500 something. And then we, this year in our budget, we included 346,000, which we supposed to use from surplus.
Right.
So if we use all of those, then the levy will be reduced by 914,534. So then we only needed 931,000 compared to last year 838,000. So the only increase is 92,000 compared to last year, which is 11% increase.
Hmm.
That's one of the scenario I'm thinking about it. So I don't know if the council agree with that.
Yeah, when you say 11% increase,
increase means compared to the last year. You know, the levy we needed for the capital budget.
Okay, just capital. Budget.
Yeah, capital,
okay.
Budget, no, not the overall.
Yeah, that sounds good.
No.
Okay.
Last year we needed 838,697, and if we do all those, you know, the allocation, then the balance will be 931,000, which we needed from levy for next year budget.
Mm-hmm.
That's 90,000 more compared to the last year.
I think that's absolutely great solutions you're coming up with, myself.
Mm-hmm.
even though I will sacrifice my 100,000 software for the load. Yeah. But then
I appreciate it.
You owe them big time, John.
Unless that price in that backhoe keeps going up, you might have to get
and
your...
Plus, I'm thinking, you know, the we applied for the pothole grant. $38,000 we supposed to get it, but I'm not sure when we get it. It's in my mind, but as of now, I don't have money, so I'm not sure how much we will get it. So that's another amount I'm looking at. So,
but are we going to get it for sure?
I don't know.
Oh.
I already applied it,
yeah.
So I'm hoping, because you know, they normally when you apply for a grant, they ask you so many reports and. You know, there's a lot of questions, and this was pretty simple. Pretty much ask about myself and Carly and who's going to sign the document.
Oh, my God.
The only requirement I think they have is that, not a requirement, but then they want to see the asset management plan by end of next year, January. You know, so if we council approve the asset management plan by next council meeting, then that will meet our requirement.
Yeah, it'll be all updated by then. Councillor Peckett, you have a point.
That's great. I think looking at all the different options is going to be useful in trying to meet these objectives, because I do like whatever is presented in this budget. It's all practical stuff. It's all stuff that is that our residents, I believe, would be satisfied with the money being spent. As well, I think that to ensure that Hardy's Road is one of the projects that does get finished, that even if we look at debenture, if we need to, as part of the solution, because I don't think you've been putting off the purchasing of the software for quite a few years now, and because of the inefficiency that it creates within the office, I think that that's a higher priority, and I think we've been basically feeling that for some time now, that sacrifice isn't probably wise in the long run. The sooner that this software gets implemented and those efficiencies get sorted out, I think better for everyone. It just more for morale as well, like, you know, duplicating and transferring things, physically like that, it just would be irritating, to say the least. So, but I think that debenture, because that becomes runs over into the operating budget, you know, and then you spread some of these costs out over whatever the term is, that I think that should be something that is presented as one of the options in the next run.
Is it too early to ask? Now you mentioned debentures. What our limit is again? What we had last year? Only so much we could.
Yeah, I think if you see that.
The sheet.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's the estimated. This is the estimated amount, but then, you know, if you at the end of 2025, this is 708,000 we can borrow max.
Okay.
And then by end of 2026, it's going to be 550,000.
Is that in part because of the elevator?
No, because of the Hardwell Road,
the only
one payment came out in 2025,
yeah.
And it all started in 2025, so that's why, you know, that amount's lower, but then as you go in 2026, that Hardwell Road project cost increased, so the overall, your limit is become lower.
Yeah. Councillor Haskins?
Yes, Rojan, I'm just wondering whether it's our next budget meeting or even sooner for our next council meeting, where you could now factor in how these numbers will be affected, calculating in the Belvedere Heights project, if we went ahead with the figures they threw at us, whether it's even possible or what that would, if we were allowed to debenture that much.
Yeah, with the... Definitely, I can look into that, because I'm not sure how that works. I have to look at that leasing option. Will that affect our borrowing or not? But then, the scenario I mentioned, that seems like best scenario where you can cut down your levy and, you know, only increases 11%.
Yeah, you're going to have some real mathematics to do with the suggestions, which are great that you made, but also yes, keeping Belvedere Heights in mind too whether we can accommodate that much or whether we're going to be like Seguin.
Well, the trouble with Belvedere is that it's all over the map. They haven't approached the townships yet. They need an early answer, but they really don't have any figures. And this is what makes it difficult. And then now she was saying today that 2027 is when it would really be kicking in. Not next year, so
yeah.
They want the figures by the end of 26, right?
I know they want the figures, but then some municipalities don't cooperate. How are they going to really say these are the final figures? That's what makes it difficult, I think, for them, and it makes it hard for us to budget that way to keep that as an option.
Yeah, that's what I'm just thinking. It'd be nice to have more information to help us determine where we're going.
I'm concerned about how intangible a lot of that stuff is, or how flexible. I mean, there's both a good and bad word, but it doesn't seem to be well nailed down, and I don't understand the relationship between our township and the others, and indeed if Infrastructure Ontario is going to treat them as if they may be not connected, but they're related, right? And how, what effect does that have? And then plus, if they have a major setback on some financial side, how does that affect it, right? So it seems to me an extremely tenuous way of constructing financing. I mean, having said that, if they're right and it actually pays for itself and cash flow-wise we're not out at all, really can't get better than that, but it's an awful lot of money, right?
And to be prepared for 25 years to cover that. A long time.
We'll still be debating it in here.
We'll be in Belvedere debating it.
Yeah, if you're lucky.
This is our future home we're talking about here.
What's wrong?
But seriously, it's really quite tenuous. The more I look at it, I had lots of notes I'd written down and thought, I don't want to push it too far, but we need to know before we sign up for things, and we need to definitely understand how it impacts our future borrowings for municipal purposes, right? For roads mostly, but and lots of them in here, so, right? And I don't want to be hamstrung and not be able to do it, right?
Yeah. So do we have an option on that? Like, do we need to sign it? If we don't sign it, what will happen?
Then the other municipalities will have to make up, because we're all we're partners. Yeah. We belong, that is our, Belvedere is ours.
That's what happens with the pool too, because Whitestone didn't sign it, so we end up paying a increased share.
It's true.
Well, we haven't had to pay an increased.
No, it was a set amount that we were
So this is the Infrastructure Ontario debenture for Belvedere would be what we're willing to back, but we wouldn't be taking out that, we would be charged that in the levy from Belvedere, every municipality. It doesn't matter if they were able to contribute to the Infrastructure Ontario to be a backer for that, wouldn't it be that we're all going to pay this whatever proportionate levy is? It's just that basically if we sign on with that, it basically says that yes, we can back up this infrastructure loan to Infrastructure Ontario with this percentage amount. Isn't that how that works?
Yeah, but then basically, I know that levy we need to pay and we will pay, but backing
pay
up the debenture, I'm saying, do we need to, sign it? What if we don't sign it?
If we don't sign it, then
if we can't. Yeah, if we don't, if that's what the council's decision. My feeling is we do everything we can to accommodate that project, but if we can't afford it, well, then we can't afford it.
But even if we could only back, say, 200,000.
Yeah,
do what we can.
Yeah. So then,
I think that's what they just want to figure as to what we can, then they can go to the other municipalities. Because there may be, I can't imagine, but there may be municipalities that don't have any debentures. We never did a couple of years ago.
So the sheet that you provided, is it showing that on June 15th of this year, then that's our final payment for the fire truck?
Yeah.
So then that opens up, so that's the final payment there.
Yeah. It's supposed to be yearly 35,000 something, and then in the next year it will be one payment, 17,816. But if you look at the earlier we talked about the trucks, and Councilor Morley talked about the 2029 Public Works truck, and then we have one of the debenture, Center Road debenture, which is going to be done in 2029.
So that might be good timing. That.
Yeah.
I can't remember exact years I mentioned there, but that's what we may have to live
you
with.
You said like 27.
We're all going to boil down to that timing, with the different loans going.
Yeah.
It's, whew, thank God that's ended. Oh, we're headed back down again. Come up for air just for a second, eh? But unfortunately, it's just the way it's rolling. Until the province and feds decide they're going to start realizing people's property taxes are too much, people are going to start losing their homes. It was that way quite a long time ago where they had to step in because it was just getting, the pressure was just too much.
Right, and that's the unknown variable that at this point in time, we don't know what 2026 brings.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when we've seen the tax arrears increase over the years to the number it is now, and yeah, so anyways, that's a variable that the future will reveal.
Okay, Carl, lead us through the steps here. We get out of committee of the whole, I guess.
Yep.
We've got some motions. Number one, please. They're waiting right to the bitter end here to get an answer tonight or something.
Oh, the line painting.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's upcoming. Resolution 25-. Oh, sorry. Now we have people online as well, so it is a committee of the whole. If you have any particular points to discuss. Hearing none. And then resolution 25-519, moved by Councillor Cunningham, second by Councillor Ryland. The result of the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar is hereby rise and report from the Committee of the Whole Act.
4:04.
4:04 p.m. Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. This is coming under motion or?
Yes.
New business. Motion. So resolution 25-510, moved by Councillor Haskins, second by Councillor Zulak. It resolved that Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby accept the quotation from Midwestern Line Striping Inc. to paint a center line, fog lines, and three stop bars and intersections for a subtotal of $15,678 plus HST of $2,038.14 for a total of $17,716.14. Discussion? Should we specify location, or does it matter that on that resolution?
Hey, yes, of course.
Does the quotation name the road and or sections of the road?
For line painting.
I don't know, just let them name the lane, if we gave them a lane.
I think it's important in the resolution, because anyone
too.
Reading the minutes,
yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Yeah, and now I can tell. Anybody complains about it, I just tell them that the motion's in place, everybody's on board, we all want it done. So it's, what else can we do? And I don't have to start giving it to Tom's cell phone number.
Well, you'll see us out there with our paintbrushes.
Well, I don't need the call. We were comparing notes yesterday. I mean, I had mentioned that you had gotten calls, and
mm-hmm.
I was asked, did I get any calls? And I said, not yet. But
I
realized the concern.
Yeah, if I'm getting the complaints, I try to deal with it with the people without forewarning it on kind of thing. Maybe have a couple times a card or email or something, but because you don't need those calls when we've got it dealt with now, so.
And I don't mind them, it just means that I've got to bring it forward to you.
Yeah, seems like all a waste of time.
Because ironically,
you bring it back to me, okay. No, I'm saying
I get complaints the other way too, when we paint.
Right.
I get complaints, why are we wasting money on paint?
Okay, well, you can forward my cell phone number onto them, please.
Those come to you.
Yeah.
Just tell them to call Horizon Drive down the road then. Why not?
Well, I know people don't like to put the name in print, but if you recall, decades ago, we always said if there was a complaint, it has to come in writing to the office rather than through somebody else, because it might be one person. And then we hear, well, there's a number of people, I'm just not telling you how many, but there's a number of people complaining. So we need something almost. And, you know, we hear complaints about any department or what's going on in the township, because they put it in writing. Most people won't. But for us to follow up on a complaint, I think we almost have to require it. Otherwise, you know, a squeaky wheel, certain people get things done, and we're sitting here at the council table, we're not even aware of those complaints. One person is.
Just like what we had at the last council meeting, with the saying that they wanted the road paved.
Right, yeah.
And they've complained for years, 20 years.
Yeah, who they complained to.
Well, we've never ever seen a complaint that they wanted it paved.
So I think it's important that we move that along, and I know when I get calls now too, Carly probably doesn't appreciate it, but this is where it's sent, so that she can deal with it and let council be aware of what's going on. Rather than at little gatherings, and I'm sure that's where you're going to get the people complaining, but I think we have to forward that to council so that we can make an intelligent decision, I guess, based on evidence. Anyway. So all we've added here is the location on Herdville Road, phase one of the reconstruction. So any further discussion on that one? Call the question, all those in favor? None opposed, carried. Looking for Roshan's hand to go up there.
Can you buy us a beer?
The way these auctions work, if you bid in the last 2 minutes, it extends it.
So when they get
the
resolution.
The back one was closed.
Okay.
It's sold. Good. $47,500.
Wow.
And that old plow truck is still going. It's at $10,000 right now. Wow. And just when it gets down to the last 20 seconds, somebody else will up it $100.
Some love playing that game. The old auctions.
So down to 27.1 on the agenda, resolution 25-511, moved by Councilor Costum, second by Councilor Zulak. The result of the Council of the Corporation of the Township. Keller does hereby give bylaw number 2025-60, being a bylaw to confirm the proceedings of council, a first and second reading, and further give a third reading and pass an open council this 21st day of November 2025. Call the question, all those in favor? None opposed, carried. And on to item 28, resolution 25-512, moved by Councilor Ryan, second by Councilor Kekkonen. Be resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar adjourn this meeting at
4:09 p.m.
to meet again on December the 2nd, 2025, for regular meeting of council or at the call of the mayor.